continue our look at what man is to believe concerning God. This morning, we're going to look at adoption. In particular, the adoption of believers by the triune God. And so let's look at question 74. What is adoption? Adoption is an act of God's free grace. Adoption is an act of the free grace of God in and for his only Son, Jesus Christ, whereby all those that are justified are received into the number of his children, have his name put upon them, the spirit of his Son given to them, are under his fatherly care and dispensation, admitted to all the liberties and privileges of the sons of God, made heirs of all the promises and fellow heirs with Christ in glory. And so, once again, we see, as we're moving through what is called the Ordo Salutis, the order of the application of the salvation acquired by Christ. So we've seen that it begins in election, and then it continues on with effectual call. And in effectual calling, we see regeneration, and then we see justification, adoption. And tomorrow, Lord willing, we'll see sanctification. And we see these the order of application of the grace of God to believers. Adoption is an act of God's free grace. That's the wording of the shorter catechism. And as we see, that just as justification is an act, it's a punctiliar thing. It's like when in human adoption, the papers are signed, the judge's ruling is entered in, however it is accomplished. And see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And so we see in adoption, we see in this process, God making us his children. In and only for his Son, Jesus Christ. So it's because we have been united to Christ. It is because we have Christ's righteousness applied to us, and we are made Christ. And so it is in us, or it is in Christ, our union with Christ, and for the benefit of Christ. It's not ultimately for your benefit that you are adopted. It's because the Father has covenanted with the Son to give him a people, to give him fellow heirs. He predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And so once again, we see this in and for Jesus Christ, whereby all those that are justified are received into the number of his children. So if you have been justified, you will be adopted. And it's not like there's a waiting period. The act of salvation, when it occurs, occurs in such a manner that justification and adoption are near to simultaneous, if not so, whereby all those that are justified. So, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So as we see in effectual calling, we are given the grace that we might receive and rest upon Jesus Christ. And we're given the faith to lay hold of Jesus Christ. But in this, we are also seeing that we are adopted. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God. And we have his name put on us. Now, I need to make a distinction here, because everyone who receives the sacrament of baptism, everyone who is baptized, has God's name put on them in a general sense. You are now his, and that's why it is right, fitting, and proper to even discipline those who have not yet made a profession of faith, but have been adopted because they've had Christ's name on them. But what we're talking here is something far better, because this is not Christ's name put on you in a general sense. This is God has, for us and for our salvation, put his name on us. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. And so even the benediction, Lord's Day by Lord's Day, is placed on the people of God. His name is placed upon them. And so when it is given, it is a placing of the name. And once again, there's the general sense in which all those there have it in a manner, but not in the sense of adoption. That they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the nations who are called by my name, declares the Lord God, who does this. And so we who are in the household of faith have God's name placed upon us, especially those in the invisible church. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. The one who conquers, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my name, my own new name. And so you have his name placed upon you. It's a sign of his possession of you. The Spirit, and we receive the Spirit. So the Spirit unites us to Christ, but then Christ grants us the Spirit to dwell in us. Because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And thus we are under God's fatherly care and disposition. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have refuge. So again, his name is placed on us, and his Spirit is placed in us, and consequently, he shows us his fatherly disposition. And so thus we are admitted to all the liberties and privileges of the sons of God, because we've been made heirs and fellow heirs with Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, and kept in heaven for you. And so we have this inheritance, and it's awaiting us, and it shall be granted unto us in fullness. We already have it's already so indeed, but it shall be in reality. Thank you for joining us. Join us next time as we continue our look at what man is to believe concerning God. Thank you, and God bless.